And in Acts 4 and verse 12, Acts 4 and verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. When Martha was cross with Mary because she wasn't getting help in the kitchen, because Mary was sitting at the feet of the Saviour learning, when Martha complained to Jesus, he said that Mary hath chosen the better part, which shall not be taken away from her. And in doing that, the Lord drew attention to himself and to himself only among all the business of life that was of the utmost significance. When the people had been with Jesus and his disciples all day and he'd been teaching them in John chapter 6, when he spoke of substitutionary atonement, all left him, including many of the disciples, so much so that he said to the 12, "Wilt thou also go away?" Peter answered, "To whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life." There is no one else in this whole universe to whom to go for salvation in order to please God. However way we look at it, we make life simpler for ourselves if we cling on to the Saviour as the one thing needful. If we've got the Saviour right, then everything else will come, I won't say fall, into place. When I was just saved and just going to church, there was a movement of young people all to go off to India to see if they could find the answer to life there. They went to seek the various gurus. Some fell by the wayside, some stayed in India, but some came back and turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we turn to any other single person to be saved, we shall fail miserably. We shall not get the answer we need. We shall not get that peace that we enjoy. But only one name. It is not Buddha. He is an idol. It is not Muhammad, because he's many years after Christ and is Antichrist. And it's not the Pope. Neither is it any particular person whom we have come across as teachers. We waste our time. We use up our powers if in seeking to find an answer to life, we turn to anyone else than the Lord Jesus Christ. Neither, says our text, is there salvation in any other. Now that word neither, it's adding a second point. It is saying that the Lord Jesus Christ is rejected by mankind, is rejected by most religious authorities. The stone which is the headstone of the corner is set at naught, made to be nothing, made out to be of no advantage whatever by those who are in authority. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the heads of the corner. neither is there salvation in any other. Nobody will encourage you to go and follow the Lord Jesus unless they are gospel Christians. There will be those who may say to you, well, I follow this or I follow that. But the Bible says nobody else has salvation. You needn't pursue after any of these things. There is salvation in nobody else. Now, it may be that you do not think to yourself, I'm not thinking of salvation. I'm just thinking of an answer to life, an answer to the meaning of life. But salvation includes the answer to life, the answer to the meaning of life. The salvation which the Bible portrays answers the question why we are alive and why we are fallen creatures. And that there is no satisfaction save in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other. Now, what does the Bible mean by salvation? You may well say, I don't need to be saved. You wouldn't be the first. Actually, there was a man in Jesus' day who was bought by four others. The five of them came to be healed by Jesus. And the Lord looked at them and was delighted with their faith in him. And the first thing he said to this man who came to be healed was, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now, he had faith in the Lord Jesus, but it didn't look as if he was wanting to receive salvation as his first port of call. He wanted to be healed. He didn't come for salvation. He didn't ask for salvation. But he did have faith that the Lord knew what he was doing and that he would be healed as what he was desiring. We can only come to Jesus in the way that we see it. And it may be that he needs to turn us about. But come to Jesus, we must. So, salvation is when we know that we are in a desperate case concerning sin. Now, the Lord deals with different people differently according to their lives. But very often it is the realization that we have sinned, that we are sinners, or that we have failed, or we're not coping, that begins to make many, at least, think that they need to look to a source that is beyond them, a source that is not within them. And that is a helpful sign. Failure to cope, failure to do this, sin, it's no great advantage in itself. But if the Lord chooses to use it, it's better than being self-satisfied. So Bible salvation lies in this, that the Holy Spirit of the Lord Jesus prompts us to understand that we are sinners. Most of us will admit that we are sinners, probably shrug it off with, but I'm not much worse than anybody else, I'm better than some. But it's quite another thing to admit it to the Lord God. To repent in the sense that we say that our sinfulness has been an affront to God, our Creator. That we have misused the purpose of our lives, that we have misused the things that he has made to suit our own purposes. And he is greatly affronted. He's angry with the wicked till they're saved every day. So that salvation begins with a realization of how wicked we are in the sight of God. You may not think of yourself as wicked, But actually, if you've done anything disobedient to the senior person in the whole world, to God who made it, that is terrible. It's who you did it to, as much as anything else. But the Lord God, as the Bible teaches, is full of mercy and full of compassion. And he creates love in the hearts of those who confess their sins unto him. He creates love and he points them to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is to the Lord Jesus, his beloved Son, that he will point you if you turn to him, confessing your sins and aware that God is not under any obligation whatever to forgive you, but he chooses to if he brings you under the power of the name of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation continues. There's more to it still. It's a wonderful thing that the Lord lifts off the load of our sin. The Lord takes away that burden. The Lord gives a new purpose for living. We live as unto him, and he gives eternal life because he is alive for evermore. How wonderful it is to turn from darkness into light, the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, to have sin forgiven and lifted off. We will remain in some of our old habits, but they will one by one begin to fade. We will not be perfect till we meet the Lord Jesus in heaven, till he comes again. But our sin has been taken away. The Lord has borne the penalty of it when he died on the cross at Calvary, when he shed his blood. And it is by the shedding of his blood that the remission of our sins is effective. Nobody else has done that. Nobody else has ever come near to it. It was God's own choice of how to be saved, how to solve the problem of man's sin and everyone, every single one being lost. And he gave the responsibility to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's done what he had to do. He's made atonement for the sins of those who come to him and believe in him. The Bible finishes virtually by saying, come, and let whosoever will may come, and whosoever cometh may drink of the water of life freely. You couldn't be thinking thoughts towards Christ if he hadn't begun a work in you, so you've every encouragement to continue in thinking. Well, there is no salvation in any other. Jesus was a perfect man. He had two natures. He was a perfectly God. And the nature of God and the nature of man did not get muddled up. He was still a perfect man, and he was still perfectly God. He was no less human than us. You might say that he was more human than us. We are fallen creatures. He was what man ought to have been always. And he was fully man. He did no sin. And as you read the Bible, as you read the Gospels, you can see how excellent his teaching was and how wonderful his life itself was. It is to the Lord Jesus Christ that we come for salvation. He has brought it to pass. He did it all the years ago, once and for all, for every one of those whom the Lord will put in his path. From early on, way before for New Testament times, to the last person who ever will be converted. Salvation, You need turn no further, but you do need to turn as far as the Lord Jesus Christ. There is none other name given under heaven, or there is none other name under heaven given among men. All earthly religions are man-made, and all of them are made in such a way, they're slewed in such a way, that they allow man to do what he wants. You make a god in your own image, or you make a god in those things that you treasure, and consequently there is no penalty for following those things, even if they're evil thoughts. But the scripture says, there is none other name under heaven given among men. Now God has given his Son, Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful thing that he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Christ is authentic. Christ is the truth. Christ has come from heaven, knows what heaven's like, knows what our sins are like, and he authentically and only can take away sin and bestow life, which is everlasting. But he is given by God. He's given to mankind. No man would have dreamt up that way of being saved. The Jews opposed it because they didn't think it were possible to be saved in a way like that. Indeed, without victory, wartime victory over the Romans. But the Lord Jesus is given. And if the Lord Jesus Christ is given, then he gives to those who begin to seek him help to find how they should approach him, how they should confess their sins, how they should bring their sins to him, how they should beg for pardon and receive it, and know that they will be received. He creates in them faith, which perhaps you never had. But this is a name that is given. And it's a name that is given among men. And while it is superior and given by God, the gospel is let loose among men. It vies with other religions, false religion, for a hearing. Christ is given among men. This name is given not to men as such, which it is, but among men. The gospel is here. The gospel is in the world. We turn away from it, makes no difference. Doesn't alter the gospel. Doesn't alter the effect. Doesn't alter what God demands of you. But it's given among men. It's there to be found, there to be heard, there to be sought after. If we're in a country that doesn't have a Bible, then we maybe will hear about it from somewhere else, if we seek and search with all our hearts. If we are in a land that is not predominantly Christian, yet we may have heard that there are such people as Christians. If we're scholars and we live in a land where there is no gospel, we may know that the Bible is one of those books that we've not investigated and perhaps should. But this name of Christ is given among men. There is none other name under heaven, anywhere. Nowhere in the whole world, nowhere in the world's history, is there anyone else who can save other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're not going to be the first one to discover anyone different. Come to Christ. Come to him. Come to the Saviour now. He will receive you. He will welcome you. You will feel his love. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The wording is significant. It would be nice to know that there is salvation in no other, that there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we should be saved. There is an inevitability that if we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. But there's a bit more than that. I quoted this morning, and I often think about it in my own thinking, I know nothing as I ought to know. I'm sure I told you that when I used to walk about Oxford and you see these huge buildings with huge theological libraries, and I would look and I think, I don't know anything, just about my own subject. And then you see the science libraries, then you see the language libraries, and then you see the research libraries. And what does Oxford do? It doesn't make you think you're clever. It makes you realise that you don't know anything. And the Lord Jesus speaks in the same sort of way to us, you see. We do not know how to be saved. We do not know anything. As is necessary, the Greek says. The English translates it as must. We know nothing as we ought to know has this little niggle about it. We know nothing as is necessary to know. But we know nothing as we ought to know suggests that we haven't put ourselves about enough to learn the things that we might have learned. We know nothing as we ought to know. Perhaps we should have done more. And this is the same. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we not shall be saved if we believed, but must be saved. There's no other way. And it is necessary to be saved, else we shall forever be lost. And there is no other saviour. There is a mustness about this, an inevitability in a sense, that if we do not come as we must come, then we shall be eternally lost. The lostness which we feel now that makes us wish there was something greater will be gone forever if we do not turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be saved. If we're not saved, we're lost. We must be saved. And we shall be saved when we turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. So man rejects the Lord Jesus. And you will be one of them until it comes into your heart that you need a saviour and to turn to him. And only the Lord can put that in your heart, but you probably won't be aware of its coming. You'll just feel drawn to the Lord Jesus in some wonderful way. But the world sets him at naught, and you have set him at naught. But he has become the chief person. There never was a man who spoke like that man. There never was a man made like that man, with his perfect man, and but with his two perfect natures, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Never was there any other man. He has become the head of the corner, the head of creation, the head of the church. Fancy going against him? But there's no salvation anywhere other than in the Lord Jesus Christ. No other name, no other one to whom you can turn. However attractive the way may seem, you must be on your guard, because if you fancy another religion, then it may be because that religion allows you to carry on with your bent, your failings, your sins. You come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and it will not be so. He will turn you from your sin. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And we does not mean everybody else. You don't do any disservice to the text by substituting your own name there. There is salvation, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby I must be saved. We come one by one. We come through a narrow stile. We must each individually come to that point to the Saviour. There'll be plenty to welcome us who've taken that step before you, but come you must. There is none other name given among men anywhere on earth, under heaven, whereby we must be saved. This is a necessity for you. Turn to the Saviour now. For thy dear name's sake we ask it. Amen.
Amen.